just come back and worship with us every time you can. And if you're from the local community, we'd just love for you to decide, this is where I'm going to be every time. And we'll encourage you. You encourage us. We're glad that you are here. Hey, some of our ladies have come up with some things for our young people. If I'd have had these when I was a kid, no telling how smart I'd have been, brother. But they're little worship notes, and they're for our kids, and you can, you know, kind of follow along with the lessons. Maybe some of you adults might need one of these too. But if you're one of our young people, especially, if you don't have one, if you'll hold up your hand, Miss Kim will put one in your hand. If you'd like one, and then you put it in a notebook, and then you come back to Kids Connection this evening, and you show them that notebook, give that notebook back to them, and they'll give it to you next Lord's Day, and I think there's something they help you with along those lines. Hey, meet me this afternoon, 5 o'clock, right here for Kids Connection. Tonight, our children are studying about honesty, and why they need to develop honesty in their lives. Hey, well, we hear it all over the place, don't we? You know, you don't know what to believe sometimes, do you? There's so much said, so much done. It can't all be true. Can't all be true, but we're to be honest. We're to be honest. And so, young people, you're going to want to be here. I know of at least two of our young people who know all 26 of their ABC memory verses. You'll want to be here tonight, adults, to hear them, those two, and maybe more. And then others who know them, you know, they've been working on them. They're not quite to the 26, knowing all 26 yet, but they're working hard. So you be here this evening. Bring your young people. We're going to meet tonight at 5 o'clock, and then we'll go over that kind of stuff. Then we'll get into our lessons along these subjects. We're thankful that we're having those Wednesday night meals. And Bob asked me to mention, to make sure that I mention, on November the 20th, that's the week of Thanksgiving, instead of Wednesday night service, we're having a Tuesday, moving it to Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We'll just have a song service. We've called it for the last 3 or 4 years, Thanks Singing. And we're going to invite the congregations from the areas to come be with us, and some will come. Some will come from those area congregations, but it's just a great time for us to be together and to enjoy singing. And at 6 o'clock, there's going to be the meal. We usually have it on Wednesday, but we're going to have it at 6 o'clock. There will be a meal. Everyone, of course, is invited to come enjoy that meal. Ladies are asked to bring desserts. And I don't know, Bob, do you have a sign-up sheet or anything? Yeah. Can't trust these ladies if you don't get them to sign up or something, I guess. But there's a sign-up sheet, so you need to sign up. Let us know that we got desserts covered. Everything else will be taken care of. So we're looking forward to that. Last week, we began talking about obedience from Acts chapter 5. We talked about the reasons for obedience. I mean, if you don't understand that there is a reason for being obedient, you'll never be obedient. You'll never be obedient. I mean, that's the reason when you tell your children to do something, what do they often say? Why? And you say, because. And they say, why? And it gets me out of that old thing, doesn't it? That old thing. They don't understand the reason for obedience. And sometimes maybe I did it with my kids. Sometimes you just have to say, because I'm your dad. Isn't that right? Because I'm your dad, and I said, pick up those papers. Pick up those papers. That's why. That's why. There are reasons for obedience. But we want to continue from this same passage of scripture we looked at last week, Acts chapter 5, 17 through 42, because there are requirements of obedience. You know, we say, as if everything is obedience. I'll just do what I want to, and if I'm being a good, honest person about it, and I'm just doing it, I'm just being obedient to God. Nothing could be farther from the truth. There are requirements for obedience. Let me show you what I'm talking about. True obedience. I'm talking about obedience now, true obedience is informed. It must be informed. I mean, here in Acts chapter 5, as we started last week, the apostles have been thrown into prison for preaching. At midnight, an angel has come and has released the prisoners, and that angel told them, say, go speak in the temple the words of this life. The chief priest the next morning sends his officers, go get those prisoners. When they go to the prison, they come back. They said, we went to the prison. Hey, we found the doors locked. We found security still there, but there was no man in that prison. And someone spoke up and said, all those men you're looking for, they're in the temple. They're in the temple. Now listen, folks, that's verse 17. That's verse 17. Down through about verse 21. Or about verse 20. Why were they speaking in the temple? Because that was what they were told to do. Now don't just go out, just go out and do anything you want to do and then call it obedience. If it's true obedience, it's because you've been informed by God. How can you obey God? How can you obey God if you don't know what God has said for you to do? You're just doing what you want to do. True obedience is looking for God's will. God, you tell me what you want. It's informed. It's informed. We walk by faith, don't we? 2 Corinthians 5:17. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, how does faith come? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, folks, anything God does not initiate, God does not appreciate. I'll say that to you again. We think we can just go out and do anything good we want to do and do it in the name of the Lord, and the Lord's going to appreciate that. No, anything the Lord does not initiate, the Lord does not appreciate. I mean, we have all kinds of examples of that in the Bible. I'll just give you one of them. Remember, David took a census on one. I'm talking King David, a man after God's own heart, took a census on one occasion. Did he ask the Lord? No, and he caused a plague, right? Caused a plague upon the people, and thousands were killed. Why? Because God didn't initiate that. What God doesn't initiate, God doesn't appreciate. True obedience is informed obedience. Number two, not only is true obedience informed obedience, but true obedience is intentional obedience. I mean, look at that verse 29 again. Verse 29, Acts chapter 5. And the verse is 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Men said this. God said, you got a choice. Men said this. Don't preach anymore in his name. God said, go stand in the temple and preach to the people the words of this life. You got a choice. I mean, folks, you can't miss it. These apostles were seeking from God, and they had received God's commandment. It was an informed obedience, and they were intentional in doing it. They were intentional about doing it. You say, I'd serve the Lord. I'd serve the Lord. I just don't know what he wants me to do. It's not my fault. I don't want, well, it may be your fault. It just may be your fault if you don't know what he wants you to do. Look with me at this passage. It's Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 34. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O my children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. It may well be my fault if I don't know what God's will for my life is. It may well be my fault if I don't know what God is commanding me. Am I standing at the door of his post? Am I listening? I mean, folks, we live in a country. There are Bibles all over the place. How many of you have read it? How many of us have read it? And then we want to say, it's not my fault. I don't know what God's will for my life is. Are you standing at the door of his post? Are you doing this? It is intentional. That's the only kind of obedience that is pleasing unto God. One of my favorite stories to tell my grandchildren is, y'all remember the story of Balaam and that talking donkey? Y'all remember that, don't you? What's the problem with Balaam? Balaam is obeying God because the king of the enemies of Israel is saying, curse those Israelites and I'll make you rich. And Balaam wants the money. But Balaam goes and inquires of God, and God says, don't you curse them. Balaam comes back down. I can't curse them. I'm going to have to bless them. Well, I'll give you some more. I'll give you more money. Well, let me go ask God again. Y'all remember all of this, right? What kind of individual have we got? We've got an individual who's obeying, but does he want to? He doesn't want to. The only kind of obedience that is pleasing to God is the kind of obedience that comes from a heart that wants to please him. It's intentional. Thirdly, true obedience must be immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Look at the context of this. Look, begin with me in verse number 28, Acts chapter 5. I think you'll see this. Acts chapter 5, verse 28, beginning. They bring them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? They're saying, don't teach in his name. We told you don't do it before. I'm telling you, we're telling you again. Don't teach in his name. And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we're his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey. Look at that load. Well, they said, don't preach in his name. And what do they immediately do? They preach in his name, aren't they? As soon as they say, don't preach in his name, what are they doing? Preaching. This God hath raised up Jesus, whom you slew on a tree. That's preaching, folks. That's preaching. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to wonder about it. Hey, I'll tell you what happened. If you look over in verse number 33, those chief priests and the chief priests and those Sadducees, that council, they took counsel. They took counsel. Anyway, well, let's have a meeting. Let's discuss this. Let's see whether we ought to do it or not. They're not the ones being threatened. The apostles are the ones being threatened. And the ones being threatened immediately do the thing that they're told by those who are threatening them. Don't do it. Don't do it. Immediate. And those who are saying, hey, don't do it, they're taking counsel how they might kill them. They're discussing. Why didn't they have a meeting? Why didn't they have a meeting and say, hey, man, things are getting rough now. Things could get serious. Maybe we ought to lay low for a while. Maybe that's what we ought to do. They didn't have that kind of meeting. They had a command from God. Go preach. Go tell them. What did he do? They went and preached. They went and told them. It was immediate. One of my heroes of my lifetime was Joe Spaulding. Y'all remember Joe? Y'all remember Brother Joe? Lived to be 96 years old and was still preaching. Y'all remember that? Long time ago. I was just getting started doing stuff. And Joe had inherited a job of the preacher at the Higdon congregation. They're living in the house that the church had built right there beside the and it had a basement in it. And Joe said, hey, David, I want you to come and direct a vacation Bible school for us. And I'd never done anything like that. And I said, Brother Joe, I've never done anything like that. He said, I didn't ask you whether you'd done it. I said, I want you to come do it. You don't turn Joe Spaulding down. So I went. Stayed for a week down in that basement. The first morning, I've come out of that cave, and that's basically what it was. I've come out of that cave where they'd put me up a little bed, and I've come out of that cave to see the sunshine, and I hear this voice. It's Joe's voice, and Joe says, good morning, Lord. Private Spaulding reporting for duty. I didn't say anything, and he went for a walk. Well, really, he went for a run. Second morning, he invited me to go for a run, and I sat down on a rock out there about 100 yards, and I waited for him to come back. Second morning. Good morning, Lord. Private Spaulding reporting for duty. He did that every morning. I like that. Private Spaulding reporting for duty. Have you reported for duty? As the Lord, do you know the Lord's commands, and you're saying, I'm going to someday. You hadn't reported for duty then, have you? Come on. It's because true obedience is immediate obedience, isn't it? Immediate obedience. I don't even know whether this song is in our book or not. But there's a song that we used to sing a little bit. It was called the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And one of those lines went like this. Be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. His truth is marching on. I'm telling you, that's the way we ought to be. Be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Psalms 119, verse 60. I made haste and did not delay to obey thy commandments. That's the only kind of obedience that God is happy with. The kind of obedience that is immediate. It is immediate. Now listen, folks. Understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. Are you looking at me in the eye? Understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. Well, I'd obey it if I understood every little detail about it. I'd obey it. I got a passage for you. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17, he that doeth his will know of the doctrine. Do you know the best time to obey? The best time to obey is when you know what the command is. The understanding will come later. You know what the command is, obey it. Obey it. And why would God why do you think God needs to explain to you something you're not going to do anyway? Just obey what he said. Just do it. Just do it. Jesus said, he that doeth his will, he'll know the doctrine. He'll know the doctrine. The understanding will come. The understanding will come. But why should God even bother explaining something to me if I'm not going to do it anyway? True obedience, folks. True obedience is obedience that is immediate. If Gideon, if y'all remember Gideon, right? Going up against those Midianites, so many they couldn't be counted. And he blows a trumpet and what is it, 22,000 show up. Yes, at least I got 22,000 to die with me. Gideon, you got too many men. If Gideon had waited around for God to explain that to him, we'd never be talking about Gideon. Tell all of them it's afraid to go home. 22,000 against too many to count. And you want to tell all of us that are afraid to go home? You sure you want to do that, Lord? You sure you want to do that? Tell them to go home. 10,700 of them. Go, Gideon, you got too many men. What? You got too many men. Take them down there and let them drink, and then you watch them as they drink. And you count them off. The ones that are drinking, you count them off. The ones that are down dipping with water up to their mouth and the ones that are getting down and drinking from all fours, you count them. Now explain that to me, God. Explain. If we'd have been waiting for God to explain that to Gideon, we'd still be waiting. We'd never hear about Gideon. You'd never hear about him. Why? Because true obedience is immediate obedience. True obedience is understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. True obedience is immediate. Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting to obey God? You say, well, I just don't understand. Oh, really? You need to take a look in the mirror of God's word, and you need to be honest with yourself. You need to be honest. And many of you will come to the conclusion that the reason I'm not obedient is not because I don't understand. It's because he's not Lord of my life. If he is Lord of my life, I wouldn't worry about the understanding. I'd worry about the obedience. The Lord said, do it. I'll do it. True obedience must be inflexible. Inflexible. Look at verse 33. I pointed this out to you a while ago. Look at verse 33 of Acts chapter 5. When they heard that, talking about that group that was wanting to make them stop preaching in Jesus' name. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and they took counsel to slay them. What do I mean by it must be inflexible? I mean, it doesn't make us any difference. True obedience, when we're truly obedient servants of God, it doesn't make us any difference what the outcome's going to be. It may mean our death. It may mean our death. Did the apostles understand that? Well, it'd been made crystal clear to them. They had been beaten before, thrown into prison. They're going to be beaten again and thrown into prison, and they're still going to be preaching. They understood we could die. We could die for this, but we ought to obey God rather than men. Rather than men. Look with me at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and the verse is 20. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Listen to him. Before I read this to you, let me remind you that when the Apostle Paul penned these words, he's in a Roman prison. He's in prison in Rome. Listen to him. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, But that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. All I'm concerned about, Paul said, is magnifying Lord. Is magnifying Christ in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Folks, selective obedience is not obedience at all. I heard about a man who was bragging on his dog, how smart his dog was, how intelligent his dog was. And a man says, well, what kind of dog is he? Well, I don't know what kind of dog he is, but he's the smartest dog in the world. What do you mean he's the smartest dog in the world? He said, well, I can tell you. I said, anytime I get ready to go somewhere, I say, are you going or not? And he makes up his own mind. That's the way we Christians are a lot of times. God says, I'm going. You going with me? I'm going. You going with me? And we think we got the right to make up our own minds whether we go or whether we don't, whether we obey or whether we don't. Well, I don't want to do that one. I don't want to obey there. I'll obey this one over here, though. I like that one. It's kind of like, you know, going through a buffet. Yeah, I'll take some of that. Now that's green. I don't eat green. I'll take some of that, though. And I'll leave this. And we treat God's commandments like a buffet. But I'm here to tell you, folks, selective obedience is not obedience at all. If he's Lord and he commands it, guess what his servants do? They do it. They don't pick and choose. They do it. They do it. And yet we call it obedience. I'm an obedient servant. When we pick and choose what we want to do, we pick and choose. Now, I'm talking about true obedience, not what we call obedience. I'm talking about true obedience is inflexible. We're going to do it because the Lord said do it, and we're going to do it. I don't care what anyone else has to say about it. We ought to obey men rather than God. Beat me, kill me. We're preaching. And last, true obedience must be impassioned. Impassioned. I mean, you'll find, if you're reading through this, you'll find that a Pharisee stands up named Gamaliel. And, they're taking counsel to kill these apostles. And this Pharisee stands up and says, hey, you might want to think about this. You might want to think about this. Remember, there were a couple of other guys who in the past, they rose up and they led away followers after them, and they came to naught. It came to nothing. And this guy, these apostles, and this Jesus they're talking about, well, if it's of God, we can't withstand it. And if it's not of God, it'll be like those other guys. It'll come to nothing. It'll come to nothing. And they listen to him. They listen to him. In verse number 40, and to him they agreed. And when they heard, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Watch this now. 41, and they departed from the presence of the council. That's the apostles. They departed from the presence of the council, having been beaten. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. mean, you've been beaten for keeping the commandments of our Lord. They're rejoicing. They've been told, we beat you now. You do it again. You preach in his name anymore. You see what he got you this time. That's in effect what they're being told. Look at verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You couldn't stop them. Beating's not going to stop them. You can't. You couldn't stop. Why? You could feel the passion of these men. You can feel the passion that they had. Our God said, tell about Jesus. We're going to tell about Jesus. You beat us. We're going to tell about him. We're going to tell about him. There is passion in them. And that's the only kind of obedience that God is pleased with, is when we're passionate about it. I mean, can you imagine? Aren't you just impressed with your children when you give them a command and they finally do it and they say, well, okay, if I have to. Is that what you're looking for from your kids? Of course not. Of course not. What we're looking for from our children is when daddy and mama say, clean your room. I'm just thankful to be a part of this family, Mom. I'm just thankful to be a part of this family, Dad. Clean the room. Is there anything else? You say, well, you're dreaming. I told my girls that when you reach the point when Daddy says to you, do it, you don't question me. You trust me. And you do it because you love me. I'll know you've grown up. I'll know you're mature. What is our God saying? You're my children. You're my children. Instead of, okay, well, if I have to, if that's what it takes, what if we were impassioned? Impassioned to do it. We do it because we love him. Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's as sure as night follows day and day follows night. If you love me, you will. Paul said in Romans 6:17, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You obeyed from the heart. From the heart. I heard the story of a man who owned a large business, had many employees, and the man decided to take a trip overseas. And so he left the responsibility for the company with his employees. And he said, I'm going to be gone for a while, but I'll send a letter back. Ever so often, I'll send a letter back telling you what to do regarding the company. And he did. He sent letters back. Finally, after an extended stay, he returned. As he drove up to the front of his business, he was in shock. Grass was growing up under the windows. The window panes were broken in the front of the building. There was a crack in the glass of the front door. As he walked through the door, the receptionist was asleep. There was loud music coming from the offices down either side of the hall. As he pushed the door open to step out into the warehouse, there's all kinds of horseplay going on. He called all of his employees together. And he says, what happened? Didn't you receive my letters? And they said, oh, we received your letters. Every one of them, they were marvelous letters. Marvelous letters. In fact, we had them bound in a book. And we have letter studies at least once a week, and most of the time, two times a week, we have letter studies. And the man said, well, why didn't you do what I told you in my letters? And they said, oh, you meant for us to do it? Father, you meant for us to do it. And you meant for us to be impassioned, joyful about doing it. I've been reading again the poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson, The Battle of the Light Brigade. You'll remember at least one line of it. Even if you've never read it, you'll remember one line. You'll know one line of it. It is not for ours to question why. It is ours to do and die. It is not for ours to question why. It is ours but to do and die. And we're sitting around saying, oh, Father, you meant for us to do that? He meant for us to do that. He meant for us to do that. It was Peter Forsyth who said, the first duty of every soul is not to find its freedom, but to find its master. Let that sink in. The first duty of every soul is not to find its freedom, but to find its master. Listen to Paul again. Romans 6:17. For you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered unto you, being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. When they become free from sin? When they obeyed the master. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered unto you, being then made free from sin. When? When you obeyed. When you obeyed. And that from the heart. You found the master first. You found the master first. And you do what the master says, and the freedom comes with it. We keep looking for the freedom first. No, look for the master first. And do what the master says. And when with the master comes freedom. Oh, isn't that what Jesus said? And you shall know y'all know this. Y'all, kids, that's not on yours. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. Jesus said, and I'm the truth. I'm the truth. Know the master. Know the master, and with it comes the freedom. Don't go looking for the freedom and then saying, well, I got all this freedom to do with what I want. No, look for the master. Look for the master. And with it comes the freedom through obeying the truth. That's Romans 6:17. And you can just follow the line to Romans 10:9-10. You may want to put your finger on this one. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. For if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart, believe what in your heart? Believe what you just what you confessed. What'd you confess? If you'll believe in your heart the Lord Jesus. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart. God has raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're only going to do what you believe. You're only going to do what you believe, and I mean believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Preachers are we are the most optimistic people that ever were. I'm telling you. Because every week we stand before people thinking to ourselves, well, maybe this time, something will be said. And they'll change. And no change. And so you get yourself together for next week, thinking, maybe this time. All the time knowing within ourselves, it's not until they know the Master, it's not until they know Him as Master, that they're ever going to do it anyway. You just got to keep trying to show them He's the Lord. And why call you me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I say. And do not the things which I say. The first duty of every soul is not to find its freedom. It's to find its Master. Its Master. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? You know what? When you determine that Jesus is going to be the Lord of your life, you won't argue about how to worship. You won't argue about baptism. You won't argue about attendance. You won't argue. If he ever becomes master of your life. And that's the first duty of your soul. Because if you don't get the first one right, none of the rest are going to matter. None of the rest are going to matter. This morning, every one of us has to look at ourselves. Is He the Master of my life? Is He the Lord of my life? Because anytime I'm talking to you, believe you, I'm talking to me. Is He the Lord of my life? Because if He's not the Lord of my life, He's not the Savior of my soul. He's only the Savior of my soul if He's the Lord of my life. Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the Master? Is He the one that you report to do for duty every morning? Is He the one you report to for duty? If He is, we'll hear His word someday. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Won't that be beautiful to hear? Won't that be beautiful to hear? But if He's not, we'll hear the saddest words that a soul can ever possibly hear. Depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me. Wouldn't that be horrible to hear? And it all comes down to obedience, folks. Is He the Lord of my life? Is He the Master? For some of us, even this morning, it might start with making Him the Lord of our life. Determining today, I'm going to do that. By repenting of our rebellion, which is the equivalent of witchcraft, the equivalent of iniquity, and the equivalent of idolatry, as we studied last week. I'm going to repent of that. I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to become obedient, and coming to Him with a heart full of faith and a disposition of repentance for all of that. And being united with Him in baptism. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So that your sins can be washed away, Acts chapter 22, verse number 16. Some of you need to become Christians today. This can be your day. And then there are those of us who are Christians. We're servants. Like we talked in class this morning, we're servants. We're servants. But Jesus talked about two kinds, didn't he? He talked about a good and faithful, who when he comes, he finds him so doing. And he finds evil servant who's saying, I'm a servant, but he's not coming today. I'll live the way I want to. I'll live the way I think I ought to live. Had they known he was coming, it'd be like a good man who, if he had known that the thief was coming that night, he'd been waiting for him, wouldn't he? He'd have been waiting for him. He'd been watching for him. And he would not have had his house broken into. But the evil servant, those of us, we're living a very dangerous existence. Those of us who are Christians, we got to examine our lives too. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. It begins at the house of the Lord. Maybe some of us need to repent of our attitudes, actions, and disposition when it comes especially to this obedience to our Lord. This morning, if you stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ and you feel that we can help you in any way, we'll do that. You just need to let us know that you need help. We'll do what we can. You make your way to the front. As together we stand and sing.